everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our program. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, off and running on this Monday, July 24th, 2023. Some folks got rain in the valley last night. Others didn't. Pretty typical of the monsoon. But what isn't typical, of course, is the never-ending heat. This will go down as the hottest July on record in Tucson, Arizona. Also, I think today we set the record for the longest continuous streak of 100-degree days. So let's hope things get a little cooler here in the next week or so. The Buckmaster Show, the radio show now, we'll be coming up on our 14th year with the radio program in January, and we are in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio. 1030 KVOI is our station, Tucson's trusted source for news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Also, there are podcasts of pretty much every show we have done on the radio going back to January of 2011. When we do our telephone interviews, that is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. It's time for our Monday one-on-one, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985. Moe and the family, they are just, well, they'll specialize in, of course, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls. Moe is a fantastic photographer. They've got some beautiful photography over at the store. But where they really excel are their framing services, their picture framing. And if you don't want to, Moe will frame the piece and you say, well, would you come out, Moe, and put it up the way we want it at the house? No problem. He'll come out, makes house calls, he'll take care of it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and their website's looking really good. They're doing e-commerce now as well at moesgallery.com. This week's one-on-one interview is with Bob Logan. Bob is author of Let Your Path Find You, Embrace Your Own Winding Road to a More Fulfilling Life, an outstanding football player and coach at all levels. Bob Logan spent nearly 30 years in a senior level capacity at the University of Arizona, first in the athletic department, then with the University of Arizona College of Science, where he was responsible for some of the largest gifts. Bob brought a lot of money to the school, some of the biggest gifts in the history of the school, including a $20 million naming gift for the Richard F. Karras Mirror Lab, where the largest telescope mirrors in the world are built. Now he is a sought-after motivational speaker, and he joins me now. Hey, Bob, how are you?
Bill, how are you? Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to spend some time with you today.
I'm very excited to talk to you this book and about how it came about. We had a chance to visit a little bit before this interview, and one of the things that was very influential in maybe putting the book together was a movie that we both enjoyed very much called The Way.
Exactly.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Well, The Way is a movie about the Camino de Santiago. And for those in the audience that are not familiar with the Camino, I suggest go Google it, and you'll be looking at stuff about the Camino for hours. And I walked the Camino. I've walked it three times. And the Martin Sheen is the star, mm-hmm. and his son Emilio Estevez is the director. Mm-hmm. And it's all filmed on the Camino. And the backstory is, you know, they are from the Basque country of northern Spain. And unemployment was through the roof. I think the film was done in 2014 or something. And they did it to try to encourage people to go walk the Camino. Mm-hmm. And I was one of those people.
Yeah.
And what's amazing is how many people on the Camino, you meet people and you go, hey, how come you're walking the Camino? Oh, I saw this movie called The Way.
Yeah.
And they had created an amazing movie. It's a Hollywood movie, but it's very, very accurate.
It's a long walk. There's plenty of time, Bob Logan, on the walk to think about what's going on in your life. And what was going on in your life the first time you embarked on that journey?
Well, my parents died young. Mm-hmm. They died at 54 and 58, and my only brother at 37. So I don't have any family except for my wife and my two children, mm-hmm. Two sons. And I was having some issues with one of my superiors at the UVA, and not a big deal, but I wanted to go walk the Camino to maybe get some perspective. And that's what the Camino does. I don't meditate by nature, but when you are walking for 6 or 7 or 8 hours, let me tell you, mm-hmm. you are meditating and mm-hmm. you're thinking about your life and what you did right and what you did wrong. And those are some of the things that were going through my space. And I also wanted to think about what can I do to help other nonprofits in the world mm-hmm. and in Tucson. So mm-hmm. every day I would walk maybe for Special Olympics or mm-hmm. the YMCA or for South Point. So every day was something where I was thinking about people that needed help. Even though it wasn't financial help, mm-hmm. I was helping them through my meditation.
Well, motivation has always been a big part of your life. It had to
been.
Be. As a football coach, you've got to motivate. You have to motivate young people. So this feels where this point in your life, Bob Logan, feels about right, doesn't it?
It does. Uh-huh. And, you know, the stories that I came back with, and my wife, she laughed because I would tell these stories over and over at events and parties, and she had heard them ad nauseum. But it made people think about, I think I may want to do that. And I'm proud to say that I've had more than a handful of people have decided to fly to Spain and walk the Camino mm-hmm. to experience the same thing that I experienced. It's that powerful of an experience. It truly is.
When you're putting together like a self-help book, which is really part memoir, you're
right.
telling a lot of stories and self-help, how do you even go about structuring a product like that?
Well, let me talk. When you're a speaker,
yes.
The rule of thumb is you have to have a book.
Right.
And if you ever go to a conference, they're always selling books in the back of the
right.
room after
yeah.
they're done speaking. And I've seen many of those books.
Mm-hmm.
Not to diminish them, but mm-hmm. many of them are, in my opinion, are kind of thrown together without a whole lot of content. And I chose that mine was not going to be that kind of book. I mean, I've got a real book with real content. And I didn't want to write a novel where you have to start on page one and go to 250. I wanted each chapter to live by itself. So the chapter titles are things like fear, failure, adversity, challenge, change, leadership, visualization, happiness, work-life balance. So if you are having an issue in any one of those areas, you pull up the chapter on failure and you read about failure and how did Bob handle failure. So I think there's takeaways for people. And everybody has issues, and everybody has problems. So
every person you meet today or for the rest of your life, or every person has, as the word is now, we don't say problems. We say they have challenges.
Exactly.
And we all do.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I've been thinking a lot about today, Bob Logan, somewhere is – at the sound of my voice, someone is having the best day of their life.
Correct.
Perhaps they've just got married. They're on a honeymoon. They had their first child. They've had any child. They're a grandparent. At the same time, Bob, someone is having the worst day of their life.
Exactly. And here's one of the things I learned in my research. There's a guy named Dan Gilbert from Harvard University, and he has studied the thing called impact bias. And it talks about that very thing that you just said, the worst day of your life versus the best day of your life.
Yep.
And what impact bias does, it says, after some time, we all end up back at the center. So that new car you bought that smelled great and you saw them all over Tucson,
yeah.
suddenly 6 months later, it's just a car. So that's what happens.
Yeah, it's that car that when you drove
exactly.
it off the lot is
exactly.
like worth 20% less, right?
And when you have a horrible presentation to your boss
yes.
and you think you've failed miserably, mm-hmm. in 3 or 4 weeks, it's okay. You're back to where you were. So how you deal with those failures and successes is really challenging.
Very good point about getting back to the center. And I just picked up the book now, and the first chapter that jumped out at me was happiness. I guess as a human being, Bob Logan, I think there's something we're wired to try to strive to be happy. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree. Yeah. And the happy, I give a talk on happiness, actually. Mm-hmm. And I was speaking at Canyon Ranch for many years, and they asked me to develop a second talk. And I said, what do you want? Goal setting, you know, living the dream. What do you want? And I found an article about 8 scientific principles that you can live a happier life if you do these 8 things. Mm-hmm. And I started giving a talk about these 8 things, and guess what? They're really simple. Smiling more, showing gratitude more, meditation, experiential travel, like walking the Camino. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that bring you happiness, not cars and houses and expensive watches.
Yeah. We put so much emphasis, don't we, on the material stuff.
That's right.
But as they say, Bob Logan, you can't take it with you,
right? Exactly right.
We'll pause right here. It is our Monday one-on-one. We're speaking with the author, motivational speaker, Bob Logan. The Buckmaster one-on-one Monday program presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lawn Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and at moesgallery.com. We'll have more with Bob right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. The one-on-one interview. Bob Logan is with us. Bob, author of Let Your Path Find You, Embrace Your Own Winding Road to a More Fulfilling Life. Bob has had an incredible career. He's like a Renaissance man. I mean, he's been involved with a lot of athletics, not only with college football, but he coached over in Italy, Bologna, Italy, the Bologna Doves. That was a great experience for you, wasn't it?
It was, but it was interesting when I found out the nickname of the team, the Doves.
Yeah, that doesn't usually go with a football team.
I'm not kidding you. We have a white dove on the side of a red helmet.
Whoa.
And so...
That's like the peacemakers. When I came
back to America, I had to tell people it's the Bologna Fighting Doves.
the Fighting Doves. And, of course, you had a great career at the U of A, not only with the athletic department, but also UA College of Science. And UA College of Science has a really great reputation. And those big gifts that you brought in,
right.
One of the biggest gifts that Mirror Lab over there at the University of Arizona, the naming rights. How do you be a good set? How do you close a deal like that? That's like $20 million, Bob.
Well,
Logan?
It's interesting. When I've had many people over the years that tell me, Bob, it must be really hard to ask people for money like that.
You hear that a lot.
It's so icky to me to ask people for money. Well, in reality, those people think that fundraising and development is like car sales or insurance sales. Those types of sales are transactional. My type of sales are relationship.
Mm.
So honestly, the reason I was able to raise a lot of money is not by talking and not by asking, but by listening, which is a skill that many people don't have very much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to, and I'm a talker, you know, I can hold a conversation with anybody.
Yeah.
But when you're in the middle of a donor-related situation, mm-hmm. you need to listen to what the donor is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, if you do it the right way, the donor at some point in the relationship, this could be many months, if not a couple of years, the donor will say, you know, I really love what you do in the College of Science, and I want to help.
Mm-hmm.
Let's begin having a conversation about mm-hmm. how I can help.
Mm-hmm.
And then the conversation really accelerates.
Mm-hmm.
But listening is what is the most important skill. And it has to happen at the house, with your spouse, with your friends. And I always find it interesting when I go to a bar or meet with somebody, I end up hearing them talk about themselves the mm-hmm. entire time, and they
right.
don't ask many questions of me, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of the case with many people. Listening mm-hmm. is not a good skill.
People want to tell their story.
Exactly.
They really do.
Exactly.
So let's talk about, we talked a little bit about happiness. What, you have a chapter in here that I think everyone
should read.
Yeah. It's called Challenge. We're all going through some challenge at pretty much any point in our lives. What can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, the thing that you have to do is understand that we're all going to be challenged. Life is going to throw some bumps in the road for you. And guess what?
Huge potholes in some cases.
You have to just continue going forward. It's a typical football analogy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get knocked down, you got to get up. And you understand that what just happened was not that you were a failure. You had to deal with that challenge, but you need to get to the next stage. You need to get to the next step and put that in the rearview mirror. And I have a thing in my talks where I talk about there's a reason why the windshield is so big and the rearview mirror is so small.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you drive looking behind you, you're going to crash at some point.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way.
Always be looking forward.
Yeah.
And it's easy. And we know people that wallow in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And they always want to tell you about the things that happened.
For sure.
Divorce 10, 20 years ago, or a sibling passes away. Not to say those aren't tragedies, but it's not going to help your day-to-day life today. So I think the important thing is to deal with challenges moving forward.
You said that you're not a meditator, but, you know, living in the moment is also going hand in hand with dealing with challenge,
right,
correct?
Right.
How do you live in the moment?
Well, I think
it's a question I'm asking myself every day.
Absolutely. I mean, it's hard because we get pulled in lots of different directions, don't we?
Yep.
And living in the moment, I think, is really key to future success. So how do you do that? It's a challenge. It could be your faith. You know, if you have whoever your religion mm-hmm. is or whoever your God is, reach out to that person because I think that might help you.
Mm-hmm.
Finding, you know, there's an adage of if you have five people in your life that you can call at any time of the day or night, no
yes.
matter what the problem is,
yeah.
most people don't have five.
No, they don't.
And so finding out who those people are that you can counsel with is also really important to grow.
When you do these motivational talks, I'm sure you allow time for question and answer in every session. What, Bob Logan, are some of the most common questions that you will get from audience participation?
They want to know just what you just said. How do I deal with living in the moment? How do I forget about what's happened to me in the past? And trying to get them off that mark is really tough sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But understanding that the future is much better than the past, so make sure you go on the path to the future.
Mm-hmm. You know, you really were coaching during the kind of the heyday of collegiate sports.
Right, Larry Smith.
Yeah, Larry Smith, a legendary coach.
Ed Doherty.
Ed Doherty over at Sal Point. And now it's such a different situation with likeness. What is there's
NIL.
NIL, this where the players
right.
now are getting paid.
Right.
And some may say, well, that's long overdue. But the way the college football landscape has changed, I wonder if where it's going.
I don't know if it's sustainable, to be honest
well,
with you.
Well, that's what I wanted to hear what and you said to say about that.
I believe we're going to know a lot more in 5 years. I think ultimately there's going to be a superpower conference of the top 30 or 45 teams, and everybody else is going to have to fend for themselves because the NIL money that is motivating these players, like Dorian Singer, to go from Arizona to USC. It's just a shame to see those kind of players leave. The allegiance to good old college U
mm-hmm.
is gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's truly gone. It's all about money.
Yeah.
It's all about the NFL. And, you know, the days that I was coaching, it was not about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I can tell you a number of stories of down-the-line players
mm-hmm.
that were not starters
mm-hmm.
and were trying to become starters, and they gutted it out for 4 years,
mm-hmm.
and they end up playing as a senior.
Yeah.
And those players had a magnificent experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But nobody hears about those players anymore.
No. And then the players go into this transfer portal
right.
where they feel that they're going to maybe make some money, and they don't really care
right.
where it is in the
right.
country they're going. If there might be a big payday at the end of the rainbow for
right.
them, that's what they're looking for.
Well, and I think the thing that many people don't know, we hear about Dorian Singer, and we hear about the kid from Colorado coming here, and the Justin Flo, the linebacker from Oregon, the big-time players. But what you don't hear about is that down-the-line player that is trying to get a starting spot, and he doesn't get it, and he doesn't like his coach.
Yes.
So he goes into the portal.
Yeah.
The percentages of those types of players that end up never finding a school are incredible. And it's in the 90 percentile.
Mm-hmm.
So all these players that go into the portal that are average players, their careers are over. They're
mm-hmm.
not playing anymore,
mm-hmm.
which is a tragedy.
So what is next for you? You've got the book. You're speaking to groups all over the place. What's your challenge ahead of you?
Well, you know, I'm retired. I'm doing well financially. The book has been fabulous, and it's really opened up my eyes to that world. It is helping me get some speaking engagements. I love speaking to people. It's not about me. It's about helping other people. I would like to grow that, but I'll be honest with you. I have no interest in being Tony Robbins and, you know, flying around the country speaking 250 times a year. I don't want to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have a nice life. Make some nice talks, meet some nice people. If you can do that, that's pretty good.
And the challenge of doing that walk is a challenge in itself, because I don't know if we mentioned it, but it's 500 miles, the El Camino. And a lot of people, they do it in different chunks
along
the way. What would you suggest for someone that would like to maybe do that walk, but they don't have like enough time to do or energy to do 500 miles?
How
could you...
I would tell
get a good
them,
experience for maybe even a couple of weeks.
I would tell you, go to my website and email me, okay? I'm serious.
Yes.
I have counseled many people about the Camino, and you're exactly right. You don't have to walk 6 weeks, 500 miles. Mm-hmm. Not many people have that ability or time.
No.
I had a friend that went once a year and walked for a week.
Yeah.
It took him 7 years. He walked a week, and then he'd go back to where he finished the last year, and he did it in 7 different stages.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it in bunk beds with people farting and snoring, all the pilgrims in those big rooms, or you can stay at 5-star hotels. There are lots of ways to do the Camino, and I actually know most of them. So you don't have to walk 500 miles. You can walk for a week and get the experience.
All right. Bob Logan is the author of Let Your Path Find You. Embrace your own winding road to a more fulfilling life. Bob, where can people find out more information?
So I'll give you two things. My website is really easy, www.boblogan.net. And then I have a landing page for the book, and it's also pretty easy. The name of the book, letyourpathfindyou.com. And there's links to Amazon and Barnes & Noble on both places. So if you want to buy the book, you can either go to Amazon or you can go to my landing page. And I've got an email, info@boblogan.net. And please reach out. I'm happy to communicate with anybody.
Thank you very much, Bob. Great to see
you. Boy, Bill, you're a legend. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right by Copenhagen, and their website's looking really good these days, moesgallery.com. We will be right back with Adelita Grijalva. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on a rather warm, let's put it that way, Monday afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. 13-acre site has everything you need for the garden, and all of the plants at Green Things are saying thank you, thank you. The rains have finally come. GreenThingsAZ.com, and their sister business is ZocaloVillage.com. The Zocalo Village has really some beautiful handcrafted furniture. And they have that beautiful Talavera pottery from Mexico. Green Things, 53 years in business, and they are open daily. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We welcome now back to the show the Democrat representing on the 5-member Board of Supervisors, District Number 5, Adelita Grijalva, the chairwoman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Adelita, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Bill? Thanks for having me.
Doing well. You were in D.C. and then you went cross country up to the Northwest.
I did.
What was going on?
So I went to D.C. with Mariachi Aslan, the Pueblo High School.
Oh, I saw some of that on Facebook.
Yeah. They represented Arizona. They did a beautiful job. And my daughter is part of the group. So I went up there as sort of a parent volunteer and then picked up COVID and stayed isolated for 7 days, tested negative after like the second day of Paxlovid, which was great. And then we'd already had plans to go to Seattle. And so me and my husband Sol and the kids all went to Seattle and were able to wear sweaters. It was so exciting. We got
sweaters.
Out of the plane.
What's
and it
that?
Was, I know. It was really beautiful.
Forgotten
Everything's
what
so
cool
green.
Weather is even like.
Yeah.
So this was a 4th of July parade that
it
the kids
was.
Were involved
yes.
with. How did they do?
They did amazing. Mm. They wore a full traje. So that traje weighs about 20 pounds. Mm. And there was a heat advisory, so we were all very worried. So
and they were all in uniform.
They were all in traje,
wow.
looking fabulous and sounding great. And, you know, mariachis are not the typical kind of band that you see And so everyone was very appreciative. I was just the reaction of the crowd made me tear up a couple times. It was
really
beautiful.
And you had COVID for your fourth time?
Yes, I know.
But this was a rather mild.
I think because of Paxlovid, it was more mild, and I was able to start it very early. One of the parents let us know, I think on the 6th, that he'd tested positive. So we all were sort of on the lookout. And you kind of trick yourself into thinking, I'm just tired and run down. You know, it was a really busy trip, and all of us were sort of feeling the same. But of that big group, about 9 of us.
Well, it's been a while since you've been on the show, too long, but I like to kind of time this so we can get you in person. I mean, the phone's fine, but it's much better to look someone in the eye and when you talk. But we were talking before about the limiting the public comments at meetings, things had kind of gotten out of hand. How is all that going now since there is this new policy?
I think it's going really well. We actually haven't limited in that everyone who signs up is able to speak. Just once you get to 20 speakers, the time comes down from 3 minutes to 2 minutes. I think that people are being a little more direct about their comments and as far as how does it address an agenda item that we're going to be voting on. And so that's the goal. I mean, we want to make sure that public access continues. But, you know, when the bulk of your meeting is taken up by call to the audience and statements about, you know, this is our time to, you know, rally our people that think
people got nasty.
They did. They got a little nasty. So I'm hoping that that has been toned down some. I participated remotely at our last meeting, and, you know, call to the audience was over in an hour.
Hey, what is this about employees now in Pima County can run for office while retaining their jobs? That wasn't always the case, was it?
No, it wasn't. There was a change in policy. I think it was about 15 years ago. You used to be able to do it, and then you would have to ask your supervisor if you could run. And one of the issues that I was concerned about is, you know, unless you are independently wealthy or retired, you're unable to run for an office in Pima County. And if your supervisor thought it would be a conflict, then you couldn't really run for even unpaid positions like governing board or Pima Community College. And we want to make sure we're one of the largest employers in Pima County. We want to make sure that our employees can be involved in the democratic process should they choose to. And so there will have to be kind of a waiver signed, their supervisor identifying if there's a conflict. So, for example, in a small department, even one that's not so small, like the sheriff's department, if someone that is currently an employee of the sheriff's department wants to run for to become sheriff, that might be a conflict that we'll have to look at to see where else they might be able to
Because you're like running against, say it was the sheriff's department, you know.
Right.
You're running suddenly against your boss. And that could be kind of divisive in the office setting.
And I think that it really is for those elected positions, assessor, treasurer, county recorder, supervisors. One of the things that I didn't like is that that was the rule for everybody, but we had individual supervisorial offices that had people running for, you know, legislative or positions. And so this way, the rules are the same for everybody. And I voted in favor of it because I think that people should have the option.
Let's talk about the pygmy owl. The pygmy owl makes a, well, a few years ago, 14 years ago, pygmy owl was a big deal. I don't know if it's such a big deal now, but what happened?
So the pygmy owl is now back on the endangered species list, unfortunately. But 14 years ago, the county made a lot of changes as far as developments and notifications and assessments. And that process has continued for the last 14 years. And so we don't foresee, based on the memo from our county administrator, we don't foresee any impact on developments or anything like that that wouldn't have already sort of raised a flag prior to the pygmy owl being endangered.
Because we put together, the county put together a huge plan when all this was in the news, and that was the kind of the diversity plan, right?
Right. And, and all of that has continued. And been improved upon. And so based on what my communication with our Administrator Lesher, we don't anticipate that there'll be any changes.
Why don't we take a break right here before I switch topics, talk a little bit about, we'll talk about what's going on with the county as far as the unsheltered population, which is a huge issue right now. Adelita Grijalva with me in studio. We will take the break, back with Adelita right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Join me tonight for a conversation about what's happening in the world that affects you. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. What's going on over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico? Well, I can tell you, it's cooler over there. They have been such a great sponsor. All of our sponsors have been so loyal through the years. My goodness, we're 13 and a half years into the radio program. Thank you, John, for bringing up their midday temperature. Look at that, 91 degrees midday over in Silver City in Grant County. And you may be wondering, well, what's their secret? Well, it's a higher elevation, so it's about a mile high. Think about like Denver. So we like to say it's going to be at least 10 degrees cooler over there, and on some days it's more, like 15 degrees cooler. So be a great getaway for you. Think about a trip over to Silver City. 3-hour drive east of Tucson, lots to do. that kind of weather with temperatures around 90 degrees. That's good for hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. So lots to do. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, for what to do, where to stay, and where to dine in Silver City. We continue now our conversation in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios with Adelita Grijalva, the chairwoman of the five-member Pima County Board of Supervisors. She is a Democrat representing the 5th Supervisorial District, a seat that was held for many years by my longtime friend, and boy, I miss him, Mr. Richard Elias. Don't you?
I do.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. Do have some pieces of art that are his in the office and his picture. And we do. We miss him a lot.
Hey, what's the deal with that supervisorial vote 4-1? You were the lone vote on a rezoning 310 units at the former Quail Canyon Golf Course.
Right. So there was a lot of discussion, and we had a hearing, and many people came to call to the audience and articulated their concerns much better than I could. But the main issue for me was it is literally called Quail Canyon. And that was the name of the development property because it is built in a canyon. It is in a wash.
Whoa.
It is on a floodplain. It is three-story facilities. And I kept hearing...
In a floodplain.
And, you know, the argument was, well, the floodplain has changed. And, you know, but every board meeting, it seems, we are buying properties at top dollar of Pima County residents that their home is now in the floodplain. And that's because, you know, after the Bighorn fires, the flow has changed. And so to say that we won't ever have an impact and impacted by floods in an area that is literally a canyon, I just thought didn't make sense to me at all. And its density that is not similar to the neighborhood around it. And it is not, I heard a lot of people saying, we need affordable housing. This isn't affordable. This is, you know, market rate, which housing is, and we do need housing. I'm not going to argue that we don't, but I do think that we could do better. This is an infill project, but I think that we could have done better. And I was hoping that I'd have at least one other colleague vote no, because of the outcry of the community, we had to have a super majority. So four of us had to vote in favor for this project to move forward.
So Pima Wash would separate kind of the two sections of
Correct.
The development.
Yeah, it's our biggest wash in Pima County.
Yeah.
It didn't make a lot of sense to me, and that the argument was, you know, the property and the dwellings will be built in the wash, so it'll be at a lower elevation than the rest of the neighborhood. So the neighborhood wouldn't even be impacted. Like their views wouldn't be impacted. And the more and more that this project was described, the less in favor I was.
What's going on, Adelita Grijalva, with the acronym? It's PEEPS, P-E-E-P-S, Pima Early Education Program Scholarships.
Right. Yes. And so that...
Has that come up now before the board?
It does. It's been coming up.
Okay.
We have agreements with all of the unified districts. This board meeting coming up, we have TUSD, AMFI, and Marana, and Sunnyside, and we have partnerships with a lot of other smaller preschool programs, and we're investing $10 million into preschool scholarships so our young children in our community have access to quality preschool.
So we have you, your colleague, Rex Scott, Matt, Dr. Hines, we're saying yes to this?
Yes.
Okay. So it is going to happen?
Yes. Oh, no. It's been happening. So
okay.
These contracts are just the agreements. We've already passed it in the budget, and the budget passed 3-2. So the allocation is already there. It's just these are the contracts, like the agreements with all of the different providers. And so my argument for the need for this is that we have a state that has not funded full-day kindergarten, let alone made any investment in preschool.
I, for one, think that early childhood education is important.
Absolutely. It's critically important.
Isn't it good to get off to a early good start?
It absolutely is. setting a strong foundation, which is the argument for paying for full day kindergarten as well, which I hope our state now will move towards. But having that strong foundation in your early years really sets you up. I mean, there's statistics everywhere that talk about the investment in early childhood and the dividends that it will pay years to come. And if you look at the function of Pima County, we are clearly in charge of economic development. We have incarceration. We have health. So all of our justice services, all of those are clearly under the function of Pima County.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we were to make this $10 million investment and reduce the expenses in any of those areas, even if you're just looking at this as a purely economic position, it makes complete sense. So I'm so glad that myself and my two colleagues continue to support this.
Pima County Attorney Laura Conover was with us Friday talking about the transition center when people leave the jail, rather than just kind of let them out and say, okay, bye. There's this transition center, which I think sounds like a good idea.
Oh, absolutely. It's providing wraparound services right when people are exiting the jail.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that means is, you know, one of the biggest complaints that I received first coming into the office is the 24-hour release of people from our county jail. And the neighbors around there are District 5, majority of them, and some in District 2. And so all of a sudden you have people that don't have access to transportation, housing, food, are just wandering around the neighborhood looking for something.
They're let go with a paper bag. Here are your belongings. Now, goodbye.
Good
but
luck.
Now they go to a transition center.
Right. And what we're trying to do is provide those services like interventions for rehabilitation,
mm-hmm.
Detox, those things that we're seeing a lot of criticism from people that are looking at our jail saying, you know, we have these high deaths, which I don't disagree with. There's a huge concern and need to look at that. But
this fentanyl deal in the
jail.
Yeah,
but the function of the jail is not detox.
No.
So we need to do more at the county level, and I feel like this is one of those pieces that hopefully is going to improve outcomes for people that are coming out. Because ideally, we don't want that to be a revolving door.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like people to exit, learn from their mistakes, and get the tools they need to be successful in our community and not end up going back into the system.
Why was the sheriff's budget a little bit over budget recently?
I think the argument was
overtime
yeah. and increased cost for food. But respectfully, it is our largest budget in Pima County. And so it wasn't a couple dollars. It was over $3 million. And that was where I think the function of the Board of Supervisors is, I can't tell any of the elected offices how to utilize their budget. But when you come to us asking for more because you've gone over, then that is, I think, our responsibility to start asking some questions about what is happening and how are we moving towards improving the morale, increasing the number of people that are working that are qualified for these positions. Because that's one of the arguments, too. You can't just hire a bunch of people and hope that it works out.
Yeah,
people need to.
You're a jailer now, right?
Right.
Hire somebody and
right.
say,
and
go work at the jail.
Yeah, you have to have an interest in doing that.
Yeah.
And it's a difficult job, and it's a difficult environment to work in. We've done a tour of the jail, and I have a lot of concerns about what's happening there.
It seems like we are getting more and more of the elected officials on the same page, whether they're from the city or the county, about our unsheltered population.
Yes.
Is what's going on?
I think it's really, we're working very well together. Since I've become chair, I'm meeting with the mayor's office 2 times a month, with our county administrator, with Mr. Ortega. And I think that we're all getting closer and closer to how can we continue to utilize all of the resources that we have available to help. Because this is a all hands on deck problem, and we can't continue as a county to say, well, that's the city's responsibility or that's the county's responsibility. We all have to work together. And I feel like that transition center is a piece of that, being able to coordinate services, which we're doing. And there's always bumps in the road, but I'd really like the community to hear about what's successful and what's not working, what we've tried, because we do continue to try things. Community members are making suggestions. We have nonprofits that we're working with, and all of those together, I feel like we're getting closer to providing more and more services to people who need them.
This budget that was passed, is there any money from the federal government? Is that COVID money all gone now, or is there still some that plays out for the next 12 months and that's
right.
it?
Yeah. We're continuing to receive grants for different, we're accepting a lot of grants even at this next meeting. And so I think the health department grants, we're going to see increased opportunities for Pima County to access federal grants. It wouldn't be the COVID relief funding, but it'll be other funding, because what has been identified very clearly is we still have a need for a lot of those emergency services, unfortunately. And we're going to, in order to keep people
housed.
We do.
It's an economically depressed area, much of Pima County.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we need to continue to provide those services and hopefully continue to utilize the partnerships from the state and federal government.
Okay. Adelita Grijalva, chairwoman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, good catching up with you. Thank you,
too.
Adelita.
Can I just add one thing?
Go ahead.
We have 1,100 residents in District 5 that don't have electricity right now.
What?
And there is a emergency facility kind of distribution of ice and a cooling center at the AVA, Casino del Sol AVA Amphitheater. So if anyone is listening.
Last night's storm.
Yes, there were 20,000 people without service this morning, and now we still have 1,100, and most of them are in District 5. So if you're hearing this and need ice or a place to cool down because your home is hot, please go over to the Casino del Sol Amphitheater. They'll have an emergency set up there.
Good. Glad you brought that up. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. On behalf of Adelita Grijalva and John, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well.